This morning we are up to the Daf Yedalet, so we're going to pick it up from around the 6 lines, 7 lines down to Eini. Gemara says Eini, it's really true. So Gemara is picking up from a point of a discussion earlier. Rashi just points out where we're coming from here. Rashi says, top line, Eini v'har tani Rav Yosef adi Rabbi Elazar parach. It's going back on Rabbi Elazar Shita. What's Rabbi Elazar Shita? So we had that yesterday. Where's that line, Rabbi Elazar? He felt that the Maltik is not chayiv on Niske Shein v'regel if a chatzar shutfin. Let's say the Adam and I had a chatzar together, and his shur gored my shur, didn't gored, he ate my fruit rather, or Shein v'regel, one of those. Then he thought you'd be putter again. Shein v'regel, he felt, is putter in chatzar shutfin. That's the din. So the more challenges. It's not exactly. So it's not sadeh acher. So the Gemara says, Einis, it's really true. Vaha, Tani Rav Yosef, doesn't Rav Yosef tell us? Chatzar shutvin vapundak chayiv behen ala shein val regel. So Rav Elazar, this is an Amora Rav Elazar, not a Tana. Because if it's a Tana, he's allowed to argue in another Brisa. So this is the Amora Rav Elazar. So doesn't the Brisa clearly say, a chatzar shutvin and a pundak, some type of a hotel, motel, some type of inn, a person is chayiv in shein val regel. And even though a chatzar shutvin, so this is clearly against Rav Elazar Shita. So Gemara says, "Tiyufta de Rabbi Elazar." So Amalecha Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar responds back, "V'tizvara." Does that really make sense? Masnisa Milo Pliga. There's a machlokas in Tanaim. He says, "I'm not holding. I'm not going against the Tana. There's another Tana that I hold like. It's actually a machlokas Tanaim. What the din is in a chatzar shutvin, whether you're chayv and shein v'regel." The Hasani, he brings the brisa. Arba klalos haya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer ben Niziki. Nizikin. There are four rules, four principles that Rabbi Shimon taught in the world of Nizikin, and they are as follows. Kol shu reshudak v'lo l'mazik. If it's my property, I'm the Nizak, and some guy's shur comes into my property, eats my fruit, and kicks my animals, he's chayv in everything in my reshus and Nizak. It's my private property, so that's understandable. Chayv b'chol. Dimazik, if it's in, let's say, I send my shur into my neighbor's backyard, it's his, and his, you know, dog starts to eat my ox. So, I'm not sure that would happen, how that works, an ox against a dog, but dimazik, the lola nizak patemakol. So if it's in his property, with the mazik's property, I have no right to be in his property, so he could do any damage he wants. So that would be pater, that makes sense as well. Lazevelazel, let's say it's a chatzar shutvin, right? You go in chatzar shutvin, the Gemara says. Vabika, which was an area, a valley, a field of some sort that was seemingly owned by either everyone or some type of partnership. The din is pater ba al hashein vaharego. With regards to shein and rego, then both parties would be pater. Aha negicha, vahal negifa, vahal neshicha, vahal revitza, vahal bita. These are all toldos of negicha. Goring and pushing and biting and crouching and kicking. All these things. Tam mishalem chati nezek. If it's the first offense in the chatzar shutvin, then it would be only chati nezek. And if it would be muad, then it would be mishalem nezek shalem. That's the third category. We see from here, though, that your pater, the chatzar shutvin, is pater. So that would be consistent with what Rabbi Elazar says. Gemara's not done yet. The Brisa continues. The fourth scenario is a lo lazev. It's an area that neither one owns, which is what? Kigon chatzar she'eino shel shneim. A chatzar that neither one owns. That, let's say they go to some random person's backyard and they have their meeting, the ox against ox, in Tani's backyard, but he doesn't own any of these oxen. So that would be a chatzar she'eino shel shneim. The lach is chai bo al shein val regel. So then, if I, let's say, put my fruit down in Tani's backyard, and then Adam's ox comes along and eats it, and then the halacha is that you would be chayiv on that chain v'rego, and al negicha v'al neshicha v'al negifa revitza v'al beita tam mishalim nezek chati nezek mu'ad mishalim nezek shalom. But then when it came to the tam, same halacha would apply. If he gores any type of keren, then it would be chati nezek for the first offense, but after it's become mu'ad, it's going to be nezek shalom. So this is the brisa.
Exactly.
Lolazev, lolazev. So these are the four clauses, these are the four principles, again, either in the Mazik's property, the Nizak's property, both their properties, or neither of their properties, that's the halacha.
The Gemara's mechalik here between Tam and Muad, it wasn't mechalik in the beginning if it was in Rishus of the Nizak. Is that not a chalik by
correct, it doesn't, exactly. So the Gemara says, so what do we see from this brisa? The klalos of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So it says, Katani Mias, we could draw out from this, Chatzar Shutvin Vabika Pater Ba Al Hashein Val Rego. A clear statement. So we have a clear statement here that Chatzar Shutvin is a Bika, as Pater Min Hashein. So Kasha Dadeh. So we see there's a steer in prices, which is fine. It must be a machlokas tanaim. So that's what Rabbi Elazar explained. Just like there's a machlokas tanaim, so he holds like the other Tana that thinks chatzah shutvin, it's actually potter in chain verego. Rabbi says, no, it's not a steer in tanaim at all. It's not a machlokas of prices. It's actually two different scenarios. One scenario is going to be Shein V'Regel is Pater in Shein V'Regel. The other one, Chata Sheshutvin, will be Chayv in Shein V'Regel. So what are the two scenarios? Kitanya hi b'chatzer hamyuchades lazev lazev bein leperos bein leshvarim. So one scenario, one price is referring to a case where the chatzer was supposed to, miuchedes, was designated for this and that one for both parties, both the mazik and the nizak, with respect to leaving their fruits in the property, and with respect to allowing their oxen to run around. So since it was chatzer sheshutvin, that's the case where he would be pater. Because I had every right to bring my ox back here, and you had every right to put your fruit back here, so we're going to be pater. That's the case the brisa just above says, you're pater in chatzer sheshutvin. But the Hahi, the earlier one, the Rav Yosef, the first one that we saw start off the day with, the Chatzer Miuchadis Leperos, Veino Miuchadis Leshvarm. This was a field that we both shared that said, no dogs allowed, no oxen allowed, only fruit. So then I bring my ox in and it begins to eat your fruit. I had no right to bring my oxen, and when it ate your fruit, so then I would be chayv to pay your fruit. That's what it's talking about when you're chayv. So the Lagave Shane, Havile Chatzer Nizak, with respect to the Shane, meaning bring my oxen, I have a right to bring my oxen, so it's considered your Nizak because it's your fruit. You have the right to bring your fruit. So the Nizak, it's your property, viewed as exclusively your property, the Chatzer, the Nizak. That's why I'm chai for bringing my oxen as the Mazak. And the Gemara says, Dekanami, bring your Raya, that case above the is talking about a Chatzer Nizak. Dekatani Hacha Dumid Pundak. Right, what happens in a pundak? It's a hole, a hotel, an inn. You don't bring oxen inside the inn. It's a place that's for the peros. So just like the pundak is a place for the peros and not for the shvarim, so too when we say the chatzer sheshutvin, it's also a case where it's for the peros but not for the shvarim. And if my shor were to go in that property, even though I own it, but I don't have rights to bring my shor in, I would be responsible to pay for shein v'rego. And the Gemara says, "V'katana hasim." And the other brisa that said, "You're chayiv," it says, "Dumi debika," where you do have rights to bring your shore, even though we both own it. But it's a field; you bring shvarim into the shore, into the sade, shmamina. So that's how the Gemara concludes. Okay. So again, it depends what type of chatzah sheshutvin. But again, a classic case of chatzah sheshutvin, the halacha would be that you're actually going to be chayiv in shein v'regel, rather pater in shein v'regel, because a typical chatzer, you'd imagine you could bring anything you want in that chatzer. It's only when it's a specific case, when it's miyuchadis leperos, and not for shvarim, then I would be chayiv to pay for shein v'rego. Okay, we're good? Beautiful. Mara says, Amaskifla, Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira asks the question, Kevan de miyuchadis leperos, haba'inan ubir besada acher v'leka? We saw above, in order to be chayv shein v'regel, has to be sada acher, has to be a sada that's not mine, a foreign sada. Now, if I have the rights, we're talking about the case where I have the rights for the peros, but not for the shvarim, so it's still my field, though. It's not a sada acher, it's sada, it's my field. So that won't qualify as sada acher to be chayv and shein v'regel. Right, you hear that again. Adam and I are sharing our field, and we only agree to put my peros inside this field. I bring my shor inside, and my shor eats his peros. I have to pay. But the one asks, I shouldn't have to pay, because I only have to pay when it's sadr acher, if it's somebody else's property. But this is my sadr also. I have rights to put the peros inside the sadr. It's not called sadr acher. And the Gemara gives the answer, the obvious answer, that no, even though I have the right to bring the fruit in, and it's called my sadr with respect to fruits, Amalei Abaye came in the Enum Yuchadis Leshvarim, since I can't bring my oxen in, then sadr acher krinabe. It's called a foreign sadr with respect to bring my shorin. And if Adam were to bring his shor, also, it would also be considered sada acher from his perspective. So that's what it means. And that's what we get out of this. Okay. Gemara now says, Amar le Rav Acha midifti le Ravina lema bidemasnisa lo pligi. Amar nami lo pligi. So just like we have that the Brises are not arguing with each other. They're all just talking about different scenarios, but they're both in agreement. So too, when we saw yesterday, there seemed to be a machlokas. Maybe that shouldn't be a machlokas. If you look at Rashi, just what Rashi's referring to here. See Rashi around 10 lines up, Amaroi Nami Lo Pligi. Yesterday we had a discussion. The Har Rav Chista, B'she'enu Miuchadash L'Shvarm. Rav Chista, who thought, Achatzah Shel Shutvin, your Chayvon. Let's say, why does he say Chayv? Maybe he's talking about a case where it's not Miuchadash L'Shvarm. So that's why you're Chayv. And Rabbi Eliezer says, Rashi, who holds that you're actually put in chatzer shashutvin, maybe he's talking about the other type of chatzer, b'miuchadas af l'shvar. So that's, there's no machalkas either from yesterday's daf. It's two different scenarios. So Gemara says, Amr le'in, you're right. It's not a machalkas. They're talking about two different scenarios. Vim tim salam ar pligi. If you want to say that they actually are arguing from yesterday's daf, Rav Chisda and Rebbe Lazar, the kusha de Rabbi Zera with piruka de bai pligi. They're arguing about this very question. Rav Chisda, Rav Zera asked the question just above about sadeh acher. It's not. It's called. Isn't it called? It's not called a sadeh acher because I own the land. So that's why he felt. Maybe Rav Chisda felt that. Rather, Rav Yochanan. No, Rav Lazar thought you're pater because I have rights to be in my field. Even though it's only with respect to my payrolls, but still considered my sadeh, it's not called the sadeh acher. And the answer, Rabbi, that's the machlok, is whether they like the shakla tari above, whether that really works since it's a sadeh with respect to my payrolls, is that considered my sadeh, or is it considered sadeh acher? That's goof of the machlokas, if you want to say that they actually are arguing Rabbi Elazar and Rav Chisda.
But they would all agree in a case that it's both payrolls and...
Shvarim, that you would be pater. Exactly, right, very good. Okay, Gemara now says, we said above Gufa, Arba klalos hayua Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer. There are four principles that he laid out for us, ben Ezekin. Again, the Gemara is going to review it. Kol shu rishus lenizak v'lo lemazak chai b'chol. If it's my property, and one of you guys, Tani, brings his shore into my backyard, and my shore hits his shore, so I am putter from everything. Other way around, I'm sorry. If he damages my shore in my backyard, he's chayv and everything, because he had no right to bring a shore in my backyard. He has zero rights to bring fruit or shvar. Al hakol chayv al hakol. What does it mean? It should say chayv al hakol. You're chayv on everything. What does it mean chayv bikol? You're chayv in everything. It's a very strange lashon. So Gemara says el chayv bikol bichule nizke nezek, in the entire nezek. Meaning what? Normally the halach is the first offense you're chatzi nezek. If it's a keren, the first offense you're chayv only half of it. So who is the author that says in the first offense in my backyard, where you have no rights, you're chayv hakol, even by the tam? It must be Rabbi Tarfon. Get familiar with Rabbi Tarfon. We see his shita a lot. Right, you see, look in the top of Sotah Shas, there are at least five more places in Masechta we're going to see Rabbi Tarfon come up. So Rabbi Tarfon says, the Amar Mishuna Keren Bechatzer Nizek Nezek Shalem Mishalem. There's a concept that Keren, we said, Kavanos Lahazik. When the shore has intent to damage and to gore, you pay half. That's how shores are. But if they do something out of the ordinary, it's mishuna, so then you pay the full amount. So when going in my backyard, the shore shouldn't be in my backyard. He has no rights to be in the backyard. He's not used to being in my backyard. He obviously, was something was wrong, he went off, he left his property. So he has to pay the full amount. And that's what Brisa means here. Rishus aniza chayv b'chol, you chayv to pay the entire amount.
It's only when he doesn't have rishus to be there.
Right? Exactly, right. If it's chatzin shashutvim, we said before, then he only pays chatzin nezek for a time.
That mishuna applies to any other type of, in other words, lav dafka, just in somebody else's property.
Exactly. The Gemara is going to say other cases as well. Let's say the it talks about a case of eating something that it shouldn't be eating. Now, even though that's like Shane, it might be viewed if it chews something, like a basket that he's not actually eating. There's a din about that also in the second paragraph. I don't remember exactly. But we're going to see the application of mishuna elsewhere. Gemara says, Eima Seifa. Look at the Seifa now. The Seifa taught us above, Lo lazeh v'lo lazeh. If neither one has a right to the property, could go in chatzah she'ena shoshneim. We're using a third party's property. Chai ba al hashen v'al haregel. So I place my fruit in Harry's backyard, and there's no right to me to place his fruit in his backyard. And then Andy has his shore in his backyard. He also has no rights to be in the backyard, but his shore ends up eating my fruit. So what's the halacha? So the Gemara said that you are a chayv ba'al shein v'arega. He has to pay for all the fruit that he ate. So my lo lazeh. What does it mean? Not mine, not his. Ilema lo lazeh klal el da'acher. If it really means not ours, but it's really Harry's, no one else owns it but him. It's a third party. V'ha'ba'ina uviar b'ste'acher v'leka. Doesn't have to be someone else's property, and it's not. What does that mean? So look at Rashi. Where did Rashi go? Rashi's Elo Da'acher. You see two lines down in Rashi? Elo Da'acher. Shein no lo l'nizak v'lo l'mazak. It's not mine or it's Andy's. V'katani chai v'al shein v'habin in sada'acher. So the way the Gemara is understanding sada'acher means it has to be the property of the nizak. At least some level of, not a third party. Sada'acher doesn't mean a third party acher. It means the other person, the one who is damaged, his property.
Didn't we previously say that you're always going to be chayv unless it's the rishus of the mazik?
You're always going to be chayv unless the rishus of the mazik by shein meregel. Yeah. The shein meregel, you actually putter when it comes to rishus harabim. You're actually going to be putter. There's a special din. It has to be the sada of the nizak. Okay, so the Gemara says, well, what's the case? So if it's a sadeh of the mazik, so you came to my backyard, I'm not chayv. If it's a sadeh of the nizak, so then I am chayv. So what's the case where it's neither mine nor yours? So what's the case? If it's some third party, that doesn't qualify either as sadeh acher. So the Gemara explained, ela pshita lo lezev lo lezev ela dechad. It's not this one or is it that one, but it's one of them, meaning Rashi says, kolomer de nizak. That's the case. The only time you're chayv shein regal is if it's in mamish in the nizak's backyard. No other case are you chayv. That's a strange way to say this, though.
So what would be the case on a shein regal that on a third party means that a certain person had rishus to put his property and he chewed it, or what?
No. We use it's neither the mazik's nor the nizak's property.
I understand, but
I'm the nizak. I place my fruit in your backyard without any permission.
Okay. So, yes, yeah. Without permission.
Without permission.
Oh, without permission.
If I had permission, then that would be considered sada. It would be considered my property, I think.
So you go to somebody, you put food, and then this short comes and eats your food.
Correct.
In the third party.
Exactly.
That's the case.
So then you would be pater in that. The mazik would be pater in that case.
Right.
It's only besada acher in the acher in the nizak's property would you be chayv. Fine. So the Gemara continues to say, so that's the scenario. And it's written further now, v'katani seifa tam mishalim chatzi nezek umuad mishalim nezek shalim. So now what's the problem here is now we're referring to the nizak's property. That's what we just established, this case. Now when dealing with the case of lo lezeh is the nizak's property, and now we're going to a case of keren in the nizak's property, the Brisa says the tam would pay chati nizak only. And that goes, asan lirabanan dami mishuna keren b'chatzer nizak chati nizak kudim mishalim. That's like the Rabbanan who say when they do something different, when the shur goes to another backyard, which is considered mishuna, which is a different, they only pay half the amount. But above we just said that Rabbi Tarfon holds you pay the full amount for mishuna in the Karen Chatzar Nizak.
To me, that doesn't ask the simple question of why does he mention twice the same
right,
case?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Like it's a much bigger kasha.
Exactly. So the Gemara, it could be the answer. The Gemara ends up saying, Reisha Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Sefer Rabbanan, we're going to say it's authored by two people. In, it is. So, in terms of your question, I guess I'm not sure why they didn't phrase it the same way. They should have just said it clearly. I don't know.
It's Arba Shlosha, that's how they should have said.
Yeah, let's see. The Gemara might ask that, actually, though. Let's see. The Gemara says, in Deha Amar Le Shmuel, the Rav Yehuda, didn't Shmuel say to Rav Yehuda, which he oftentimes called him Shinna, the sharp one, he called him, Shavuk Masnisen Vesa Basrai, leave the mission alone. And let's see, learn the, I guess, bring the outside one. Rashi says, what does this mean? Look at Rashi. Shavak Masnisen, you see three wide lines down, says Rashi at the end. Shavak Masnisen, lo titrach, lishni kechatana. Don't put so much effort into trying to make it the same author. V'sa'ab basrei, v'ema kavasi, doka ani, reisha rabbi tarfon, v'sefer the rabbanim. Don't put too much effort into trying to get the same tana. Do what I'm saying, and saying it's two different authors, which is fine. The arba klal says Rashi, the kamar Rabbi Shimon trei minayu bechaduchta, chad kiri tarfon vechad kiri rabbanon. And two of the scenarios are really the same scenario,
different
and different shitas. Like we, but we'll ask the question in just a second. What you said, but that's what he says to do. So says the Gemara again, shin ashavik masisin v'salaf basrei reisha Rabbi tarfon v'sefer rabbanon. So comes along Ravina mishmei derava amar kula Rabbi tarfonu. No, it's all Rabbi tarfon. He's the author of the entire brisa, the entire statement. So what does it mean, my lola zev, lola zev? What's that case? We didn't figure out what the case was. We were stuck there. Only way we were able to explain it was chatzar denizak. Gemara says, lola zev, leperos el dechad. That the only one person had the rights to put the peros in, and lezeh lishvarim. But they both had the rights to bring their shore. It was it was one of those you find in Central Park or the other places where a dog park. You have to bring your dogs in. But if you're going to leave your food down, be careful, then your food's going to be eaten. So one of them had the rishus, they made the deal that I'll have rights to place my fruit down, but we both have equal rights to have our oxen run around. So let's see. So now that being the case, delegave shein havle chatzer dinizak. So when his shore ate my fruit, it was my property because I was the only one with the right to place the fruits here. So it's considered chatzer dinizak with respect to shein, and he owes me money. Delegave karen, where we both have rights to place our shor here, then the havelei rishus harabim. That's the din of rishus harabim, and that's why in the din is if my shor gores your shor in rishus harabim, the tam pays chatzi nezek. Let's just review for a second here. So now, just to get the cases down, in a chatzer din nizak, so then shein v'regel, that's the first case above the chatzer din nizak, the shein v'regel has to pay full amount to my shor that it comes into my property and damages us. This case is where we have a partnership, but only I the rights for the fruit, but we both have rights for the shvar. That's this case, and that's the four different cases now.
So for the fruit, it would be chatzer and nizak.
Exactly. So again, that's just the four cases are either it's all the nizaks, all the mazaks, it's both their rights, and then there's this hybrid case where it's the rights for the shvarim, but only my rights for the shein. So Gemara asks Ricky's question at the very last line of the Amud here, Ihachi, if that's the case how we're establishing this brisa, arba, shlo shava. It's not four cases, it's really three cases. Now we just said above, it's not four cases, really four principles. Because there are really three principles. The fourth scenario is just applying the principles in a different way, but it's really three principles that we're learning here. The principles being the Nizak's perspective, the Mazak's perspective, neither perspective, but this fourth case is where it's this combination of Nizak and Mazak together. So the Gemara says, probably what you're probably thinking of the answer is, Amar of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Shlosha Klalos Barba Makamos. There are three principles that are applied in four different scenarios. And that's the understanding of this brisa. Okay. Fine. It requires a little bit of chazar to get all the different cases down. But that's Amud Aleph. Okay, let's start Amud Beit. Now the Gemara says, new Mishnah, Shum Kesef, Shava Kesef. This Mishnah is not going to be fully understandable until we read the Gemara. Shum Kesef means the assessment. You need silver, you need money to assess the value of damage. Shava Kesef, which is the paying back, even objects could serve as shava kesef, it has value. It has to be done b'fnei bezdin, api edim, b'nei chorin, who are free people, not avadim, b'nei bris, Jews, hanashim, b'chlal nezek, women are also subject to the lachas of nezikim, v'anizek, v'amazek, b'tashlumim, and both parties pay tashlumim. So again, it's a very cryptic mishnah. The Gemara is going to break it down one by one. Maishim Kesef. The Mishnah said, Shum Kesef. What do you mean, Shum Kesef? Assessing the money. So, Amar Rav Yehuda, Shum Zeh Lo Yehei Ela B'Kesef. This assessment should only be with Kesef. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Lo Yehei Ela B'Kesef. Sheyehu Bezdin Shaman Kama Shav HaNezek Mane Umasai Mekachi Shalim Lo. I mean, nothing, no chiddush. It doesn't sound like there's damage done. You take the car after an accident, you take it for an assessment, and they whatever value you give, $2,000 car damage, that's what it is. That's what it sounds like. Nothing, no big chiddush. I don't know what the havamin would have been. That's what the Gemara says. Tanin Laha, we already have taught this before. It says, the Tanir Rabbanam, Parashezeka Talis. A cow, let's say, damages a talis, and a talis shezeka para, or a talis damages a para. So Rashi explains what the case is. So the cow went to someone's backyard and trampled over the talis and ruined it. Or para talis. The animal slipped on the sheet that was in the rishis harabim. And the cow's leg broke. So there's damage. Two different scenarios. Talis could cause damage to para, and para could cause damage to a nezek. So what's the lacha? We don't say, you pay the damage of the cow, I'll pay the damage for the talus. We don't just
do a switch like that. Just
Rashi,
excuse me.
Rashi says, "Ein omrim teitzei para betalus." We don't say yitalus a para shezeka talisa. We don't say take the cow that was damaged the talus and vlote nishumes ela hein chasav hein yosef yedleno. We don't say, you know what? Your cow damaged my talus, so I'll take the cow. And my talus damaged your cow, so you take the talus. We don't just switch it like that. That doesn't make sense. I don't know what you would think. What the Havamina would be. Ella, what you do is,
but
what we do.
The case of the talus is Chatzar and Nizak.
It sounded like there was two different events, but the same Mazak and Nizak.
Right, but it seems that when the talus, the first case, it says it's Chatzar and Nizak.
Right, so that's why you owe the money to it.
But there's no reason to be any exchange.
No, but then later on, the guy's like, listen, you damaged my talus, I'm going to put my talus in the Rishis Rabim, now it's going to serve as a boar in the Rishis Rabim, and your cow's going to slip. So the cow walks over the sheet, slips, breaks his leg, so now both parties owe each other money. So what happened is, so maybe you should think, let's just switch. You take the damaged cow, I'll take the damaged chalice, and we'll call it even. Even though it's not really even.
That's loved up, though, but it could just be the two separate cases.
It is two separate cases.
No, but meaning even with two separate owners. So it's just talking about two different.
I just stopped cases, not where it happened in two different. Right. Almost two separate mazaks and nizak.
Kind of like what we had before, where we talked about whether or not you'd give the value of the dead animal rather than paying money.
There's a go from the Bach that says otalas. He answered Russian. Otalas.
Okay, so it's not one case. Either way, you would think whatever the mazik is, maybe if the cow caused damage to the talis, you should take the cow back in exchange for any of the damage. That's where the havamin is. And the Gemara says, no, not to do that. Ela shaman osa bedamin. You evaluate it based on the value. Whatever, how much damage had been done, that's how much money you pay. So that's what it means, shum kesef. You have an assessment of the value. Shava kesef, what does this mean? Says the Gemara, the Tanna Rabbanan, shava kesef melamed she'ein based in nizkakin, el nechasim she'esh lemachrayos. Bezdin only has a right to confiscate, take away any of the money of a property that has a chrayos, which is another way of saying karka. Aval im kadam nizak v'tafes metaltlin bezin govern lo mehen. But let's say the nizak jumped the gun and he went on his own, took some metaltlin property from the mazik. So bezin goes ahead as a govern from them. What does it mean govern from them? It means we allow them to use that as a point of payment, or they take it back from them. What does Rashi say? Rashi says, "Milame chain bezin niskakin li para min hamazik elam kein yesh la karka dahinu shava kasef demasisim." That's what they do. But let's say again, if they have karka to take away from, that's the only place where the bezin is going to take away from. But again, if they go ahead and jump the gun, then Nizak takes up metaltin from the mazik, then it seems like bezin would allow him to keep the property. That metaltin would work as well.
It's just that the Gemara would clarify.
Okay, so Gemara says, what does it mean? How do we get that shava kesef means karka? So Amar Mar shava kesef. We're repeating that statement again. Melame chain bezdin nizkakin el nechasim sheishim lechrayos. My mashma. How does the shava kesef translate to being karka? So Amar Rabba bar Ula devar hashava kol kesef. Something that equals all kesef. What do you mean something that's equal all kesef? So Rashi explains devar shava kol kesef shenosin olav. It sounds like something that has there's no value. Real estate could be worth whatever you want it to be. There's no value to real estate. There's some level of market value, but the price could be anything a person's willing to pay for. Very different than metalton. So it's worth kol kesef. It's worth everything. Mine. What does that mean? Mine. What does that mean? It's worth kol kesef. Mine. You davar shein la ona. There's no ona. When it comes to buying milk, let's say, so milk costs $2.50, and I'm charging $15 for it. So that would be ona. When it comes to metalton, so then there's the issue of ona. But when it comes to karka, there's no ona when it comes to karka. What does that mean? Avadim, so that's the idea, that there's no ona. It's kol kesef. There's no set price on karka.
But what's saying here is that unless you have karka, the nizak cannot collect
milk. That, at this point,
unless the mazik has karka, the nizak cannot collect
milk. Exactly. That's what it sounds like right now. It seemed if he had money, it would work, and if there's no money, then karka. But we wouldn't collect from any metalton, nor the shava kesef. That's what it sounds like. Now, there is an important Tosus to look at here right now. Tosus, the small one, Dover shava kol kesef, says Tosus, lab dafka, doesn't mean any amount. I mean, there's never ona by karka. It means yes or mipalga yesh lam ona. What it means if it's you pay more than half, if you pay more than 50% of the value. Let's say the market value is a $1 million house, and you charge $1.5 million. That would be actually ona. It doesn't really mean there's no ona. There is some limit to it. That's according to Tosos.
A couple of people in this neighborhood need to learn that.
Yashiv Larabu Shavakesef. We already learned that there is a concept of Shavakesef.
Yeah, Gemara's going to address that later on. Yeah, very good.
So underneath that would not be ona.
Say it again.
It would not be ona. If you went for underneath the...
Exactly. But according to others, you should look at the Gra refers to, the Rambam and Riff argue. I believe their shita is that there is no ona ever by karka. You could pay, you could charge whatever $5 million for it. And if they're willing to buy it, they're willing to buy it.
Is it?
They
hold by the Gra, that's right.
So the Gemara says further, so if it's really true, so Shava Kesef means something that's worth all the money in the world, whatever you make it worth. So that's why you could only collect from karka. So Gemara says, Avadim v'sharos nami ein lem ona. These are also examples where ona does imply. You could sell an eved for as much as a person is willing to pay for it. So then does that mean the bezin could collect avadim? They could collect sharos for paying of the of Nezek is also Shava Kol according to this. So says the Gemara, Ela Amaraba Bar Ula Davar Nikna Bekesem. No, what it means is something that's bought with money. It doesn't mean that's worth all the money in the world. It means bought with Kesef. Gemara said, what do you mean? Avadim Vishaos Nami Nikna Bekesef. How do you buy an Eved? You buy an Eved with Kesef. The mission Ketushim we learn. Shtaros, if you look at Tosos, Tosos writes, Avadim Vishtaros Nami Nikna Bekesef Velogarsin Sharos. They Nikna Bekesef of Mesira. The Gemara tells him, Baba Basa, you can't buy a shtar with kesef. The only way you're koneh is you're paying for the shtar, the rights for the shtar, but that's not what gives you the acquisition. The acquisition is the mesira, pulling over the documents. That's the acquisition. So, according to Tosos, the girsa of shtar should not be here. Okay, either way, it can't mean davar nikna bekesef, because avadim is nikna bekesef, and also lechor metalton is also nikna bekesef. I guess the Gemara says only meshicha, though. I guess that wouldn't be a question for metalton. But avadim are nikna bekesef. So then, since it's nikna bekesef, does that mean you could collect avadim for nezek? So then the Gemara says no. Ela amar Rav Ashi shava kesef velo kesef vani kula kesef ninu. You could only use shava kesef to pay nezek, but you can't pay actual kesef. Shava kesef works, not actual kesef. What does that mean? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says ela amar Rav Ashi around seven narrow lines up. Says Rashi, ela amar Rav Ashi shava kesef. Dainu kakaos. Kakaos is called shava kesef, but it's not actual kesef. V'hochi mashma. Shava kesef yishalim, v'lo kesef atzmo. That's what the mission means. V'hani kulo, all the other things we spoke of, metaltlin, v'avadim, v'sharos, they're all considered kesef ninu. How they consider kesef? D'mati lam tuyinu mitama mimaso lamaso mizdabni. The definition of kesef here, at least, is something that can be transported from one city to the next city.
You can set it there.
Exactly. Karka obviously cannot be transported. Therefore, only Shava Kesef works, not actual Kesef.
This is talking about, this is about Nezikim, right? But it seems that it's changing, part of it is changing or no?
But which part?
Meaning, we're still talking that what he can pay the Mazik.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So the Kavana is that only, until now, it's only if he has Karkas, if he has Avadim or Metatlim, he cannot pay.
Exactly. On Dafka Shava Kesef, but not actual Kesef. So now the
Gemara. Actual kesef, yes. It's just that actual kesef, that's not kesef.
Exactly right. See, I assume real money you could actually pay with.
Right, it seems so, because exactly. It's shum kesef, it's kesef, right?
Yes. So it's very strange the way they're calling it, that they're referring to karka as being shava kesef.
That's not clear. It's because Rashi says lo kesef atzmo, and right. These are all called kesef. It sounds like even kesef itself you could
use. Right, but shum kesef, it would seem that it is kesef.
It works.
Do they say in the article here, by any chance, of when they say dafka shava kesef works, do they say money can't be used? I'd find that it'd be amazing that you couldn't use actual cash to pay for damage. No, I mean, that'd be a tremendous penalty for the damager, the mazik, to have to pay property.
Only,
right.
And if a guy doesn't have property.
Right. So then that might be the case of when you pay afilu subim. Remember the yashiv gulaso b'shava kesef. That's the next line we're going to see in just a moment. But it would be okay, I'll look it up, see if anything in the back addresses paying with actual money, which again I would find shocking. But that's the simple reading of Rashi. Okay. Now the Gemara asks the question, Rami le Rav Yehuda bar Chinina le Rav Yehuna b'rei Rav Yeshua. He asks the following question, Tana shava kesef milame chain based in nizkakin. The Bezin is only able to collect from actual land, property. V'hatanya, that we've been learning the entire first parak here, Yashiv Gulasov says the Pazik, the Rabbal Shava Kesef, Afilu Subin. You can even give the worst of the, what would you say that was, the brand of the grain, right? Anything you could give. So how come we're saying that only property works? Mars is Hachab in my skin and Biyosme. Our mission, which says only property can be used to be collected, is talking about Yisomim. You're not allowed to collect metaltlin from Yisomim. You can only collect karka from Yisomim. Right? The father was a mazik. He didn't pay the damage. So now he dies, and the Yerusha, that obligation falls upon the Yisomim. Mm-hmm. So the lach is only in the karka, because there's a shibur on the karka from the nezek, so the nizak could collect from the karka, but he's not allowed to collect from the metaltlin. So that's why the Mishnah says here, you can only pay shava kesef if you can only pay from actual karka, but you can't pay from metaltlin. But any other case, you are allowed to pay yashiv gulasa afilu shava kesef afilu subin. Marsa E. Biyasmi, if we're talking about this mission above, is really referring to Yisomim. Ema Seifa, look at the Seifa. Im kadum nizak v'tafas metaltlin bezdin govin lamehen. Let's say the nizak goes ahead and goes into the guy's property, takes some of his cows as payment. We let him keep it. That's sufficient for the bezdin for the nezak. Now ibi yasme. If we're talking about yisomim, am I bezdin govin lamehen? How are they allowed to do this? Metaltin can never be collected from Yisomim. Even if the Nizak does this on his own, the Bezin's going to confiscate the Metaltin back and give it, return it to the Yisomim. So Gemara says, no, it's also a unique case here. Kedama Rava Amar Rav Nachman Shetofes Mechayim. In a different context, he says, where the Nizak was Tofes Metaltin while the father was still alive. And then I guess
the
father died. So maybe you would think that maybe they should collect it back. So Achanami Shetofes Mechayim, they took it when the father was still alive, and they said once they took the money, then we'll just let him keep the money. I'm not really sure what the chiddush is so much, because once they collected it when the father was alive, so everything was final. There's nothing to talk about. They collected their money already.
What's the
no, the person, the Nizak collected the money, but the Beis Din didn't come and separate off what is actually owed versus.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, that makes sense. Right. I mean, what you took, does that really equal the damage?
I was looking before what the Govin Mehen is. So it doesn't really explain it at the beginning, but it just says that the court gets involved, like when he goes and takes it, the court kind of has to make sure that they took the right amount. So.
Okay. Okay, fine. 1 second, looking at Tosos here just for a moment. Okay. Fine. Says the Gemara now, two dots.
I'm sorry, so the Maskana, what is Shavei Kesef according to all this?
According to all of this, same thing as above. You're just karka. In this Mishnah, it means just karka. Just karka here.
Okay, well, here it also clarifies that according to the shaf, I think, to somebody that he agrees that if he has no karka, he would get paid with metal.
Even in the Yisomim case.
Yeah. Right. Even it seems, I'm not sure on the Yisomim case, but for sure in the other case.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. Fine. Gemara now says the two dots. We'll go a few more lines to the next two dots. B'fnei Bezdin. It has to all take place in front of Bezdin. What does that mean in front of Bezdin? It says Gemara prat lemocher nechasev v'achar kach holach lebezdin. So to exclude a case where let's say the mocher sells his property and afterwards he goes to Bezdin. What does that mean? What's the case here? We sold this property. Look at Rashi. Rashi explains here prat lemocher nechasev, five lines up from the bottom here. V'kila hamos. He gets rid of all his money. Ubala Bezdin, Shane Bezdin, Nifranim, Minalukuchos. So you know the guy gets rid of it, he liquidates everything, he sells off his property, then he uses all the money, and then he has no money left either. Now the guy's mamash has nothing, no assets at all. No money in the bank, no property. So that case here, what's going on here? So Shmamina, says Rashi, this is a bitmiya in a question form. Shmamina, this has come to teach us, Lova, Umacher Nechasev, if I borrow money from the bank and then I can't pay it back, they have a lien on my property, I sell my house, I have zero money left and zero assets, does that mean Bezdin cannot collect from the house that I sold off? They had a lien. Of course they can. Well, so what's the Hava mean here? If I cause damage to somebody, I have in essence, I have a chiv to pay the chov. If I sell my property and get rid of my money, they can't collect from that property. They had a lien on that property because I owe them money. It wasn't Betoris Halva, but it's Betoris Nezikin. It's a outstanding chov. It's a very strange thing to say. That can't be the case. It's certainly not true. If I sell my property after owing damage, that Nizak has every right to go ahead and collect that property because he had a lien on that before I sold. So what does it mean, Bifnei Bezdin? What it means is, says the Gemara, Ela Prat LeBezdin Had Yotos. You have to go in front of a experienced and a mumchim, but dayanim who are experienced and know, as opposed to just stam batidinim, stam dayanim, just three people together, that won't qualify. You have to have experienced mumchim. Is there Rashi here? I mean, Rashi explains here just the last three lines here. Ella lahacha asa masnisin the bezdin mumchim danin dine knasos. You need experts to judge dine knasos. V'lo bezdin hadyotas, not just regular people on the court. And that's what we're learning from Bifnei Bezdin. Tosef points out the issue here. Just look at Tosef for a second. Why is Rashi referring to Knossos here? It says Tosef prat lebezdin hadyotos perisha kontris linen dina Knossos. Rafa gabde masnis, and even though the Misha lo arik be Knossos. We're not talking about Nezikin, not Knossos. The man damer tana shor l'raglo umavir l'sheno, which depending how you define the Mishnah, there's no mention here at all of any knas here. So mikomakom the rames la nu atana. There's a hint. The tana trying to give us a little hint. Masisim afilu b'mili dilo ari b'reisha hachnami mefarish b'samach. Okay, it's leading into the next point here. Even though we're not explicit about talking about knasos, there are some hints to certain halachas about knasos here. That's what Tosa is trying to
but
get at here.
But for Nezikin, you could use the
Yotzer. Exactly. We learned that in the beginning of...
Right.